Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray and Brad Williams for the About Last Night podcast.
Woo!
Yeah,
and,
man.
And I'm not just excited because Adam got a new candle that's in the shape of a house.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about that on today's episode. I saw that at, again, Rite Aid, and I was just like, hey, that's something different. How cool is it, though?
Yeah, it looks like you have a little Hansel and Gretel gingerbread
it's
house
like a
in the middle of your table.
Like, it's definitely been some sort of, like, blown glass in the shape of a house, and there's a candle in it, and you... Okay, the roof is open, and you...
I'm calm right now. I feel like you have chocolate chip cookies in the oven for me.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know what... You see how fired up I got defending? I don't defend... If somebody insulted my family, I wouldn't have as much passion in my voice as I would
My mom is kind of a whore, but don't you talk shit about my candles.
About my house candle.
Love it. Fun podcast today.
Yeah, our guest Tom Segura, who you know from Conan, The Late Late Show, his half-hour special, his new hour special, Completely Normal, which you can get on iTunes and Netflix, his past two albums that are hilarious, which I can't think of the names of. But
and
Tom's
his podcast.
Your Mom's House.
Your Mom's House with his wife, Christine Pruszynski, who's a very funny comic in her own right.
Very funny comic. Tom, no joke, and I have to be better about gushing over our guests, but he's just like, he, no joke, is one of my top five favorite comics.
Yeah, he's because a great storyteller.
Storytellers are the shit, man. If you are good at it, and also... You know, just it just shows how perceptive you are because, like, everyone people watches all the time. And when you can really dissect the shit you see and make it funny for people who don't know what you saw or don't know you, oh, dude, it's a gift.
It's awesome.
And he brought it today. And dude, just we just had there were a lot of laughs and a lot of really just autobiographical shit about him moving from school to school and having to, like, you know, make friends immediately and how he'd use his humor to, like, find acceptance. And,
sure.
Like,
and then the fact that he was in a coma. We talked about that.
Yeah.
So
no guest has ever shared a coma story.
I believe that was a first. So drink a bunch of absinthe and go into a coma yourself whenever we mention coma.
But not before you go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com and click on the Amazon banner to buy Tom's special, Completely Normal. Because when you click on that Amazon banner, you throw a couple shekels to Bradley and I.
That's right.
And it helps us to buy more house candles so I can continue to have an icebreaker when it's just Brad and I on the podcast. Also, follow Tom on Twitter at Tom Segura.
Sure.
Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad.
That's
follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Brad, where are you going to be coming up?
In the next couple weeks, May 16th. Or you know what? I'll do the city first.
Yeah.
I'll be in Pasadena, California at the Ice House, May 16th and 17th. Love that room. I recorded my album, Hi Ho.
Oh, yeah.
At the Ice House.
You murder harder than I see you murder most. You murder consistently, but the Ice House is like...
It's low ceiling.
Mortal Kombat finish him shit.
Finish him, midget. Yes.
Again, that was Brad's Morgan Freeman.
Irvine, California. Me and Adam Ray are going to be doing the improv May 22nd through the 25th. So Orange County people, I want to see my people out for that show. And then we go from California all the way to middle of America, Omaha, Nebraska. See, you normally only have to look forward to college football and the College World Series, but fuck that. Now you can look forward to me coming and performing at the Funny Bone in Omaha May 29th through June 1st.
Fuck
come
yeah.
out to see that
fuck
one.
Fuck yeah, dude. You're keeping busy. As usual.
I do.
I'll be in Irvine with Brad the 22nd through the 25th. Before that, I'm going to be in New Orleans. I might pop up doing some shows, but I'm going down to do season 2 of Adam Devine's House Party, do the audience warm-up, do the digital content for Comedy Central. So no shows for a couple weeks since I'll be down there. Then Irvine with Brad. And then I'm at the Pioneer Underground Theater in Reno, Nevada. The 29th, 30th, and 31st. Tickets on my site, adamraytv.com. And then I'm in Gotham in New York, June 19th through the 22nd. And then
awesome.
Headlining the La Jolla Comedy Store end of June, the 27th to 28th. And, of course, improv, Laugh Factory, Comedy Store dates when I'm
popping
in L.A.
in all over town.
Yeah.
And we've heard from you guys sometimes, hey, we want to support the podcast. Do you guys have a donate button? Funny you should ask.
Yeah.
If you go to Kogo.com, Kogo.tv, Kogo.tv, that's what it is, Kogo.tv. Yeah. cogo.tv/aboutlastnight. You can go there. You can watch an episode.
First live one that we did.
With Mo Mandel.
Which was great. It was live streaming. We got a lot of Twitter interaction with you, the fans, as the show was happening. We got Mo to do a cartwheel for $10. People paid for an improvised song about my mom that was fucking weird, but we did it. There's lots of incentives up there. You can buy for, I think, $40. You can get us to prank call somebody in a Morgan Freeman voice.
Yeah,
can,
we'll make fun of someone on Twitter. We'll make fun of someone on Twitter for you.
Yeah,
hopefully I can speak.
You can pay for that.
Yeah, hopefully you can pay for me to speak better. And then also, if
get Brad Rosetta Stone for his birthday.
And if you just want to say, hey Adam, hey Brad, we want you to buy more candles. We want you to have good things in your life. We want you to pay for your bandwidth. There is a donate button if you just want to give us like $5 or something like
that.
We'll be fine with that.
And of course, the incentives are our albums. Brad Coming Up Short is on there, and my new album Pop-Tart Suicide.
Yep.
Get those. Get them while they're hot, because soon a new hour will come out and you'll be like, well, I just got this one.
Yeah.
Like, well, now there's a new one, man. So
exactly. So those are our pitches. Go to all those shows. Go to those websites. Listen to those podcasts. Give us money.
And continue to rate and subscribe.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
The iTunes shit, man. Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Comment on the iTunes, because when you comment and put something positive, that helps us climb in the ranks so that we can be the greatest podcast of all time.
We're taking over.
And take over and go to fucking other countries. I want to go to...
I think we both want to go to Zimbabwe.
Holy shit, dude. I mean, we went to Cabo and did a live episode there. I feel like if we once a year went to a destination, like Destination Podcast. Is
Destination
what we called it.
Podcast.
And
okay.
Dude, there's an incentive. You have somebody pay $1,000 to spin a globe. They have to send a video of them spinning a globe and pressing wherever their finger lands. And we have to go there
for
3 days.
Oh, God.
4 nights.
Do not hit Baghdad. Do not
do a podcast. That might be a decent incentive. But until then, until you pick a fucking foreign country with possible war implications for Brad and I to visit and do a podcast from, sit back and listen. Or listen if you're Chinese.
I'm going to listen to podcasts. Adam Ray Comedy, Brad William. Very funny. I listen all the time.
Hey, old Korean man, who's our guest? Who are they
going
to listen to?
They are going to listen and enjoy Tom Segura.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
You know, when you've been doing it longer, you obviously you have like more confidence. But like, I hate when they're like when they won't do any like a Google search. They're like, "Who are you? You're working the club this week?" And you're like,
on air. Not before the show happens, like on air. It's like, all right, we got a comedian here from the Improv, from the Funny Bone.
Right.
It's Chuckle Fridays. What's going on, man? What's your name?
Like, and they go, or sometimes the producer will run out and they'll be like, what do you want to talk about? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, what do you want your lead in to be?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have a lead in.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you going to say? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, what are you going to say?
Right.
And
they're
like, I thought you were having me on your show.
Yeah.
And they're like, I mean, do you want us to ask you anything? I'm like, if you want to know something, you can ask me that.
You guys just get out of prison or something?
Yeah,
like,
so weird. You're a professional interviewer, man? Like,
it's been
terrible at your job.
It's gotten to the point now where, and this helps even when I go to a good radio station, but I've been to so many bad ones. I tell the guys, just say hi to me and I'll go. And I just...
Really?
And I just rip. And hopefully they can come in with a question. They'll, like, get it.
So you take over?
Yeah.
That's the pro move.
The pro move
is to take over.
I mean, and then it's such relief when you go on a morning show like Todd and Tyler, Kevin and Bean, Lewis and Floorwax. It sounds like I'm making these names up, but no, they're all
Woody
real.
And the Beaver.
Yeah,
yep.
Woody and the Beaver, is that everyone?
No, that was the name of a college radio show that I did. That my
what
roommate? He was like, we're gonna be Woody and the Beaver, and I was like,
were you Woody or the Beaver?
I think I was Woody.
You were Woody?
I think so.
Wait, was that, where was that in college?
Lenore Ryan College in Hickory, North Carolina.
Nice. That yeah. just sounds...
Holy crap. So you're...
like people were playing banjos.
Yeah. It's that's where John that's Reap your, is from.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Hickory. Yeah. I'm from Hickory. Oh, yeah, and he just right. and he does right. the head woggle every time
so
he says it.
So you and... wait, so you went to school there from there?
I went to college okay, there, yeah. yeah. It was the only school I got into, so that's why I went there.
Yeah.
I wasn't. It's a small school. Like, you get a lot of, you know... The thing was, it just wasn't... you know, you have, like, expectations for college.
Yeah.
What like, were yours? I always, mine was, like, the big campus... thing was like how I imagine
yep.
college, like from movies basically yeah. you know like
dude totally people yeah. skateboarding around high-fiving each
yeah,
other
right.
jumping into fountains
that's what I thought college would. And I also you know I went to high
school teachers shaking their heads in disapproval
of course. Oh you guys are acting
you
like,
guys are
oh,
crazy
Thompson
you little rascals
Segura
yeah that's what I thought and then I went to high school in Florida so like you know we have like Florida Florida State my like all oh, these big yeah, colleges right. and I was like
SEC
yeah it's big you know big
so you also school. From that knew what like the college experience should offer.
Should offer, and I went to a school that had 1,200 undergrad. So it's like,
holy
you know.
Shit!
So you knew everybody.
Oh, definitely, man. Yeah, yeah. You know. I mean, you at least the weird thing is you recognize everyone. It's like working at an office.
Yeah,
you're like I don't know that dude, but I know him. You know,
yeah. right? Like, yeah.
I see him every day.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of times in college, you have if you're like a bigger school, you have it's the whole thing of you can start over.
Yeah.
Anonymity, you just and it, no one knows who you are, and you can walk to class. And if you want to talk to people, great. If you don't, yep. it's fine. But I guess in that scenario, it's like, all right, hey Bob, hey Lisa, yeah. hey, like fuck, like you have to say hi to everyone because yeah. you know them.
And I would get, you know, I got frustrated. Like, I was like, this shit sucks, man. This, you know. But then the upside is that like. You know, I walked in the radio station. I was like, I should manage this radio. And they're like, all right, you can manage it.
You, you just had that much confidence.
And then they're like you just have to manage this budget. And like, it's yours. It's like $10,000 this year. And I was like, all right.
This
like,
year?
Like, that was my, when I was the station manager, they were like,
100 of that goes to buying all Phil Collins CDs because you have to play Phil Collins Tuesday.
Sure.
Dude, they, you know what I did? I took four friends in New York on the, on that.
to scout. Like
no, there was a radio conference.
Oh my God, that's like, incredible!
There was a radio conference. I was the radio station manager and on air, and then it was actually three guys that also had shows on the air. Right, everyone had a different show, and there's a radio conference. So we all went to New York, stayed in a hotel, and it was St. Patty's Day weekend.
Oh, we went to that's fun in New York.
The first conference meeting that like we were supposed to just go and just you know take. Go to like all like different speakers.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was like a 10 a.m. Meeting, so at like 10:15, we're like this shit. Whoever's supposed to speak isn't here. We're like, let's just go out. Like, let's just not do this. And then we just went and partied. Like,
can you maybe pull it up? Maybe. Right.
How should I do it?
Push.
How about like this?
Do that. Yeah, you can do that if you want.
I've done this before.
All right. It's a little more natural.
Yeah. So then we just went and we just partied for like. 3 days, and then
that's
we got,
the fucking coolest.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
Because they don't know that you're doing that.
They had no idea, and then I had to just give receipts. So then we would just like we'd pick up receipts off the floor, like any receipt that we'd find, I would just take. And then
from like where, like were they ever just questioning? Like
no, I was like, this was a cab ride. This yeah. was a lunch we had to go to. I would just ask for receipts. Like everyone, I'd be like, can I have a receipt. like I didn't buy something. I was like, do you have a receipt?
yeah.
And then. We got back, and the best thing was, I thought I was like, "Wow, we did it!" And then, you know, because we got shit faced for 4 days on my school, like they paid for everything,
dude. That's see, like, and wow. Now that's some straight movie, like that college
is,
movie
yes,
shit.
Yeah, there you go.
Where you con the professors.
And then I didn't. I had no preparation for this. There was like some meeting with like other people that ran different departments and like budgetary, and I just went to it. For whatever reason, not thinking, they were like, oh, and then, like, could you give us, like, your report right now on that conference you went to? Like, just on the spot? And I was like, yeah, like, that was an amazing, like, we learned so much. And I just, you know, improv,
yeah.
like, everything that I learned, I was like, it was so beneficial, like, the things we're going to be able to implement. Because
dude,
of,
and like, by the way, I'm already buying everything you're saying.
As long as you say a word like implement,
apply, beneficial.
Yeah.
Dude,
that's all you do. Hit those
beneficial
keywords.
Implement should be the name of a fucking program they teach bullshitters.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was circumstantial programs.
Yes. You're just
like, oh wow, this guy knows what he's talking about.
If we implement the benefits, yeah. it's circumstantially going to improve and excel.
Uh-huh.
Also, make things more accessible.
Yeah.
And because right now we've been in a little bit of a, what would you describe, like a rut?
There's so many obstacles.
There it is.
That we need to overcome. Yeah, and then I threw out like just. Then I realized too that they don't know. Everyone in this meeting didn't know shit about like radio.
Wow.
Well, so sure, they don't
like,
know.
Yeah, I was like, you know, we're just not doing. I was like, I learned so much from these other guys. How we can step up our radio station. It's going to be like, it's going to be a new day when we're done.
Oh, dude, people were people clapping they were and like, standing up at that point?
They were just like, that's
a Rudy type moment.
And like, it was a lot of money that I spent on this trip.
Dude, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And our budget next year needs to be $20,000. Yeah, and
we have to go back to this.
there's another conference in Miami that I really think we should hit up.
But apparently it's only the people that go the first time are allowed back.
So. Yeah, you don't want new people fucking it all up.
The synergy, the flow.
We only went to one. We were supposed to watch basically over the course of 4 days, like, fucking 50 people speak, and we went to two, and they were both hip-hop related. One was Chuck D gave a speech. So I was like, we're all gonna watch Chuck D give a speech.
Obviously.
And then another one was like, it was
Danny
like a panel. It was a panel. It was like MC Search,
wow,
and Schoolie D, and like
please say Salt and Pepper.
No, I wish. And I just remember. I remember,
teach you how to get a man.
What a man.
I remember there was a girl from some radio station, some West Coast. I think it might have been a Seattle girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was like, I have a question. And she asked Schoolie D, like, well, you know, the thing about hip hop that I'm not a fan of is like a lot of misogyny and like just like talking down.
Who let that bitch in the room?
Dude, he was like, you want to know my answer? And she was like, yeah. He's like, I don't give a fuck. And he was like, I'll tell a bitch that she a bitch. And if she don't like it, like, she could suck my dick. We were all like, oh my God.
Wow.
Like, this is supposed to be like an education panel. And then everybody that was on that
How
was
did it
like,
get to that point?
They were just like,
the man needed a blowjob, sir, and maybe, she had a mouth.
Maybe we shouldn't invite Schoolie D to this shit anymore.
I don't know how he got on the list in the first place, but.
I don't know. It was hilarious to everybody but her. But also, like, you know, I mean, it was way fucking out of line. But, like,
but that's why it was so great.
That was great, yeah.
How much of all that radio experience has helped you? Because I had a short-lived radio show at USC where Brad and I went, and I got canceled after 6 weeks because they had no comedy shows. It was all just kids being like, think they like were dope radio DJs. Yeah. And they'd be like, oh, this next band, I play some of my favorite bands from San Diego. One of my boy Chad's in this new group called Twisted Bloodhounds. And they're really coming up in the scene. They're playing a show, I think, and it's been like 9 minutes trying to find where the show was.
Yeah, because we didn't have smartphones at that time, so they couldn't just look it up.
And it's just dead air. And he's like, anyway, here's a little bit of that song. And then by the time he's gotten to it, he's going to play 20 seconds. So he's like, all right, we got to take a break now. Anyway, so I was like, this is a great form to have a comedy show.
Sure.
So that I lied and said I had all this experience because they wanted you to intern for a year and a half before you even had a show. I lied. I got a slot from, they kept sending me emails, you want 6 a.m. to 2 to 8 a.m. on Tuesday. I'm like, fuck no. Finally, they're like, how about midnight to 2 a.m. on Sunday night? I'm like, that's perfect. Dude, I did it for 6 weeks. You could listen online. I got all these guys from my frat and my acting school to listen and my buddies in Seattle. And I wouldn't screen calls though. So people would call and I'd just be like, we've got a caller. Oh, and I pretend to be some fucking British guy. And I would like, it was just all over the place. So I'd be like, we've got a caller. Let's see what they want to say. And just immediately put them on. So people were like, fucking go Trojans. Fucking motherfucking. And you couldn't do any of that.
No.
Right. You can't swear anything. They had all 7 words you couldn't say. So they pulled the plug. Point being, that got me more interested in doing radio and interning and just, it's helped for like the podcast is what I'm saying.
Sure.
Like that type of, so how much of that helped for your...
I don't know, man. I mean, I guess it was.
Which, by the way, should say your podcast.
Yeah, your mom's house.
Yeah, with your wife, Christina.
Christina Pajitsky, my wife. We do 2 episodes a week, which you can find in every place that you can find.
And by the way, not just any podcast. Let's just say not just any podcast.
It's fucking one of the best.
Every comic has a podcast, including these two knuckleheads right here.
Yeah. My stepdad has a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. This is you were chosen as a finalist in the best comedy category.
Yeah, it's been cool. I mean, we do.
Dude, that's so dope. It says along with Adam Carolla, Rogan, Nerdist, and Mark Maron.
It was crazy.
What the fuck? That should let anybody listening right now go, I need to add this to my queue if it's not already. Because, dude, those are the best of the best podcasts.
Please. Yeah, please check it out. It's a very, I always tell people, you know, it's very silly and it's very juvenile. And
good,
you know,
our fans like that, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And you know, we do a lot of audio, like we play a lot of clips, we do sound drops. It's just kind of evolved into that. Like that's what the show has become. So there's a lot of just, you know, added silliness. Like there's
a little bit of like, were you influenced by Stern or anything?
Oh,
like
definitely. That? Yeah. 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 I mean, we probably do more audio because it's a shorter show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's always opening clips and there's a lot of, and then people who are, we have, you know, our fan base sends us like just the best audio. Like they do the research now.
No shit.
To play?
Well, they'll be like, have you heard this clip? And like our email inbox will be like 500 audio clips.
Just sound bites.
Yeah.
Just like
there's just like things that like they know, like really stupid shit is going to be like, you know, like redneck hillbilly stuff. Mm-hmm. Black people yelling is always welcome.
That's a solid comedic category.
Absolutely.
Some comics have made entire careers on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Quite a good careers too. Anything pretty much fecal shit related.
Mm-hmm. So there's a sound and you have just new sound bites coming in all
like
the time for
this
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this guy who makes just fart videos of him just like farting everywhere. His name is King Ass Ripper. So we like,
oh, God. Why did I, dude, I got more excited to find out who, like, to research this guy tonight than I have been for any audition
King Ash Ripper will
or
blow
show.
Your mind. King Ash Ripper will blow your mind. I'm serious. You've never heard farts like this, and you've never seen anybody so dedicated to farts.
Is he one of those guys that, like, because I had a buddy in high school that would, like, could suck in the air and then fart it out?
There's
and
definitely.
I pee myself laughing at
there's
that.
There's something. He's not forthcoming. He won't respond. We tried to get him on the show.
Because
we've had different, like, we'll reach out to, like.
So, like, King Ass Ripper is, like, the Banksy of, like.
Definitely.
Well, fart guys.
There was this girl, Angel Fellatio Secrets, who she made a video.
Angel Fellatio Secrets, yeah, is the full name.
Dude, you have to see this woman. She deep throats, like, 9-inch, like, rubber dildo. And she's like, here's how to give, like, a
great. Oh, God.
So we saw her. We played her
video.
Wait.
What's her name again?
Angel's Fellatio Secrets. Angel's now, she ended up being secrets. On a bunch of big shows after us. So I always try to.
Like Kathy out. Lee and Hoda.
No, she ended up on Stern and a couple other shows, but it was like months after we had her.
Right.
So we reached out to her and she did our show. And then, like, another lady who sings these wild fucking songs on YouTube, Auntie Fifi, she's like, they make.
Auntie,
like,
Fifi, Angel's Fellatio Secrets.
Auntie Fifi's the best.
Buttload fart loving.
She'll be like, I felt inspired today, so I put the pen to paper and I just thought of this song. And then she'll sing it. And you'll be like, that's Old MacDonald had a, like, that's not your song. Like, that's, you can't say I put a pen to paper and then you
it
just.
Came one of the most popular nursery
rhymes
of all time.
Yeah, like, that's not
time.
Your song. But then it'll just out of nowhere, like, she'll be like, you know, and the honk and the, like, oink oink here and row, row, row your boat. Okay. Louisiana hot sauce, like just crazy shit, non sequitur, and then
so remix, and then changing lyrics of other songs.
So we played her stuff, and then we reached out, and she did it. But King Ass Ripper,
she's like
would
P.
not
Diddy with a mental illness.
Yes, and she's a sweet lady. I have to say, Auntie Fifi is the sweetest lady ever.
Which, by the way, Auntie Fifi, you could use that on your album as a credit from Brad Williams. Brad Williams said that this is like P. Diddy with a mental illness.
Yes, and she would
done.
Probably laugh. Actually,
Auntie I'm Fifi, sure she would. That almost sounds like the competition. For Mrs. Buttersworth, like if that was a rival syrup, Auntie Fifi,
perfect for that.
Listen,
great.
Mrs.
Does
she have any products like that?
No. Mrs. Butterworth is so hack, so much sugar. Come down, get some Auntie Fifi syrup.
Yeah,
it's awesome,
dude. I want to meet this lady.
She's in Texas.
So is that one of your favorite things about the pot? Like for us, we love like have. First of all, it's to hang out with people like that we just don't get to kick with a lot, and and obviously. But like those seem like pretty swell perks.
Yeah, I mean the crazy thing about our show,
you do it with your wife, which people must love that chemistry that you guys like.
It's, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, this show is like how you guys hanging out with another person, and then
I mean
they're basically
granted, Adam and I aren't married yet. I mean,
yeah. Right, but you know,
we're working on it.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
We're trying now.
There's years. How many years you guys know each other? 15?
No, eight.
Eight? Yeah, oh, eight, 9 years. I mean, don't get me wrong.
What are you like 46, 48?
Yeah, yeah. We look fucking amazing. Yeah. And I am an ordained. I am an ordained minister, but I can't like marry myself to someone.
Uh-huh.
So like we're trying to figure out some way to make this real.
Where did you and Christina? How do you? Because you know some comics are like, I will never date a comic.
I thought that too. I totally thought that.
No shit.
Well, I mean, like because like I feel like part of it is because I just heard it, like, from, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, other dudes you would always be like, them. They're like, you never want to date. And not even, you wouldn't even think about it. You're like, oh, sure, that's good advice. Like,
no. By the way, they're just giving you, like, maybe one instance they had where they asked a girl comic out, and she was like, fuck you, you creep. Right. And he was like, you don't want to get
married. Or it turned out bad or whatever. But, like, actually, the longer that I've been married, the more it makes sense to me, because it's like, there is no, like, not, like, we understand the other person's, like, lifestyle,
which is a very specific and not easy to deal with lifestyle for male or female that's in that situation that's not doing it.
Yeah. Sure.
So exactly. If you both are just like, hey, I picked up this gig tonight, so we can't have dinner, or I got this weekend now and we can't, like,
and
you just go, cool.
There's no, like, have what? Fun. You went out last night to do a show. And you're like, yeah, I know. I'm gonna do it again tonight.
That's awesome. Dude, that seems awesome.
I think it's
your
great.
Wife is cool as shit.
Man. She's awesome.
She's like, funny. Yeah.
Yeah, she's
and she's hilarious.
You she's guys hilarious, and yeah, the show is like the show is. We actually have less and less guests on, only because like it's so with our schedules. You know, we're both on the road so much. It's mm-hmm. so hard, like, as I imagine it is for you to like set up and coordinate. And we've done 2 episodes a week now for a year.
Right. Shit, so you have so many backlogged.
None.
Oh,
so
oh,
I'm
geez.
Saying so to, oh, you're just doing, to keep oh, up that pace.
Oh God, you're putting
is
out
so
to
much.
A week.
Yeah, we put out to a week. So it's just like. It's so, and last week was the first week we ever, since we did it, that we put one up because literally had like 20 hours in town.
Yeah.
And she's like shooting something, and I'm, you know, I was on a plane. I was just like, there's just no way we can do the second episode this week. So it's just, it's hard to keep. So that's why we actually have less guests because we have like no time. Like,
yeah,
like,
you can't,
hey, let's go record.
You can't
this.
Book them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard.
Now, do you ever have a time where you're a normal married couple where like you're having a fight and then all of a sudden it's time to record the podcast and you got kind of put the fight on pause and then go do that?
Yeah. We don't record if we've had a few times where like we've started.
You're like, this might be a great podcast if we're still fighting.
Well, I've actually been like, you know, if there's any like tension, I'm like, it's not good for us.
Yeah, that's not why people are listening.
So we stop, but then we make up so fast and we're like, all right, we made up.
That's
like,
awesome.
You know, we clear the air.
Yeah.
And we say something racist to each other. And like,
do you guys ever pitch each other bits and stuff like that? Or is it not that you kind of like you're like respectful of each other's?
Yeah, no, we don't really pitch each other. I mean, like she'll say something and I'll be like, that's like, you have to say that. And she'll, oh, really? Like that kind of thing.
Cool. Yeah.
But not like, you know.
Yeah. Cause you hear things like Gaffigan's wife, like writes jokes.
I know.
And stuff.
It's amazing. I've heard that. And I've seen that, like, you know, she's like credited on stuff. Like she, I've seen them at a club together. I mean,
oh, really?
Yeah. I've seen them, years ago. I saw him and like, he was just popped into like Tempe and like doing a spot and she was there, I think with a notebook, like they work together.
Yeah. That's amazing. Awesome. Here's why you are one of my favorite comics. I've told you this before. Yeah. Your specificity when you talk about personal, first of all, you're a great storyteller.
Thanks, man.
What I'm thinking of right now is, I think it was your either cousin or buddy who comes up with inventions all the time.
Oh yeah. My cousin. Yeah.
That's on your latest special, Completely Normal, right? No, it's the album before that.
Yep.
Which is,
White Girls with Cornrows.
Yes. Yep. Get that on iTunes, Amazon, or TomSegura.com.
Yeah. Yep.
Also, where your special is, your new special, Completely Normal.
On Netflix.
You're just the specificity involved is also like storytelling, I have a great appreciation for because I feel like, A, that's I think how I kind of got into stand up because I was just doing that a lot
at
parties or with friends.
Telling stories, yeah.
And after you do it, and also seeing people who do it really well, you appreciate how difficult it is to like massage moments and take your time.
Yeah.
That's when I first started doing stand up. I was like so fast because I was like, I gotta get to why this is funny.
Right.
I'm not comfortable with silence, but dude, like you also have to trust that the storyteller is in control and that you're not like afraid that they're, and also engaged. And it's like these things you can tell are so, you're so tapped into. And, I mean, so the first time I met you was at the parlor with you and Christina.
That's right.
And it was New Year's, which Brad, you've done New Year's.
Oh yeah,
at the parlor, which is crazy club in Bellevue.
Bananas.
And I was the host, and then you guys were co-headlining, and then I was just doing a guest spot.
Yep.
And the host had a girlfriend there, and then you guys obviously.
That show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I've done this a few times, but I'll never forget this because it was like they wanted everybody to ring in the new year with the comics, and so it was like, you know, meeting you guys for the first time and hanging out and being fans. It was a great night, and then Ruben, who runs a club, was like,
Hey, I want everybody to be on stage for the midnight.
It's a great
and he's yeah. flipping great through Ruben. His iPad like Dr. Evil and love you, Ruben. And he's like, be on stage for the to ring in the new year. And I'm like, yeah, Ruben, I don't have a girl. Everyone here has a girl. Like, I'll be by myself. That's a vulnerable 8 seconds I'd like to avoid being out there with nobody to kiss. He's like, oh, you can come up with something funny. And I'm like, nah, it's like, I don't like, what am I gonna do? Kiss my hand? He's like, yeah, sure. I was like, nah, well, I'll probably do that if I'm out there. And that's depressing. And so he's like, no, just get out there. And then I get out there and like, dude, you have no, I've never felt more vulnerable or fucking depressed or like in like that short amount of time where it was like looking at everybody looking at me being like, where's your person?
Really?
Oh, dude, it was crazy, man. And I feel like I'm a pretty secure person, but it was like, oh, dude, it was like, and then I was looking around. I was like, all right, quickly, you got to do something. You can't just stand there and be super sad.
And you kissed
fucking. I shoved your wife out of the way.
There you go.
Put my tongue in your mouth.
No, wait, what'd you do?
So, yeah, because you were with your wife having your moment, as you should be. I was like, well, what do I can do? I can fist pump really aggressively because people are going to be like, dude, that guy's having a lot of fun fist pumping. He has no time to have a magical moment right. with a special lady. Or I could fucking cheer
He's
people.
Too busy fist.
Or I could stare at people in the crowd as they're kissing and like cheer them on and like fake, you know, jerk off and be like, you know. Or I could like kiss my hand like Ruben suggested. But dude, when you hear 3-2-1, your brain shuts down, your body takes over. I literally just started doing a combination of like robot and fucking like the Charleston. I just did like 90 dance moves in 4 seconds and like seizured. And it was just like, I just have to be busy right now. And my body just fucking, dude. And I looked over at everybody's like kissing. And then there was one woman who was hammered and by herself, and she wasn't kissing, and she was just pointing at me, trying to be like,
I'll kiss you.
Yeah.
And I'll kiss you, lonely son of a bitch.
And that's when I committed even harder to the robot and was like,
yeah, you're like, nah, I got standards. I'm not doing that shit.
Well, I don't know. Like, you bring up that story. Just I got sexually molested by a grandmother this last weekend in your hometown,
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Where were you?
The Cincinnati Funny Bone, which is actually in Kentucky.
Newport. Yes.
Yeah, Newport, Kentucky. I'm meeting everyone after the show, like I do. You know, taking pictures and shit. And this one, like, grandma, she's blitzed, and she's like, and she just gave me a hug. She's like,
"You're so cute. Oh my god,
look at the little fella.
You're so cute. You're tiny. You're funny." Yeah. And then she goes, "Let's do something fun for the picture." I was like, "All right, let's try smiling. How about smiling? That sounds fun. Okay." And then she goes, "Okay, here we go. One, two, and on three, she licks my face.
Oh,
she just flat out
just grandma lick style.
Just grandma, like she's getting the middle of the Oreo out of there, and just like." Licks my face.
So upsetting, right?
Very upsetting, because like I turn and I know that if this is a dude who like licked a chick comic, like she could like punch him or something,
right?
And it's fine, but no, it's a little dude comedian, so it's got to be funny. And so I actually shoved the grandma.
Whoa,
yeah, I shoved her. Like, what the
fuck
are you doing?
Know, though, there's a time where I feel
you licked
like
my face.
Also, as a little person, I feel like that's like people want to kind of see that, and also you're. The maybe one type of person that can get away with shoving an old lady, because it's like she might have been threatening your space.
You're the one person.
No, but she could have been threatening your space.
Definitely,
you know, like or treating you like, you know, old ladies are known to be kind of, you know,
sure.
Shitty.
There was an old lady on the way into my second show this weekend.
They don't give a fuck,
right? Like the first crowd was leaving, mm-hmm. and she was like, and it was somebody's fucking grandma. And she came up and she was like,
that's how they're referred to, by the way. Somebody's fucking grandma.
She goes, "Are you on the show?" And I was like, standing behind this table. And I was like, "Yeah." Oh, you're. And then her daughter was like, "He's the guy." And she's like, "Oh, you're a funny guy. Like, tell me a funny story." And I was like, "No.
I'm about to do it for an hour.
Yeah.
You asshole."
And she goes, "I'm funny." And I was like, "Cool." And I kept like looking away. Like, I don't want to engage with you.
No,
and,
but you're cordial. You're always answers.
We're always worried about like losing that one fan.
Yeah.
So like we're trying to be nice because we're like, we want you.
But I'm sure
to
you
be
hit
a fan.
Point where you're just like, I don't give if you're gonna do this.
If you're gonna
want
get this,
here.
Yeah, I don't even want you here. And then like the daughter who was like, "Mom, you're being like ridiculous, please." And I was like appreciating it.
Yeah.
Then she goes, "Oh my God, she's so annoying." And I was like, "Yeah." And she goes, "So will you pick on her?" And I was like, "Oh, you too? Like you suck too?" And I was like, "No,
I thought you were my friend.
I won't." And she was like, "Why not?" I go, "Cause I don't want to, like, no." And then immediately I was like, they were lining up and I just told the guy, I was like, "Dude, whatever you do, just don't put them in the front. because I could just tell they were going to be a problem. You know, I just made the request, and they're like, yeah, no problem. They put him, like, you know, six rows back, and I was like, cool, because she's the type who I knew, like, right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're like, so, and they're like, so, what is that? What? Why are you wearing that? And you're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, she felt like she had some sort of rapport with you.
Yeah. Like,
I talk to you in line. You can make that funny, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's just hours of I met a person and said hi material.
Dude, you bitch. Horrible. Do you deal with that a lot on the road? You've been doing the road for what, like, how long now?
Oh, my God.
You started in Cincinnati, what, Go Bananas?
No. I started in L.A.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, I started in L.A. I started doing stand-up in 02.
Okay.
And then I started probably traveling in 06.
Nice. Okay. And do you like it? Still like it?
I still like, you know, when it's good, it's the best, man. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm, I mean, it's a bit more exhausting now where I'm like, Jesus Christ, I need a, you know what I mean?
I mean, like, when you first started, were you like...
Now I'm booking weeks off where I'm like, that's a week off.
Shit. Smart.
You know, like, I got to get a week off.
Were you, I mean, now you kind of take it easy where there's a time when you would like find locals and get in their car and drive 40 minutes to, cause they got really good weed and like fucking.
Dude, for like any spot, like East LA spots and like, you know, like doing like fucking Vato rooms and shit where I was like, what do you guys think of the Iraq war? What?
That's where I came up, doing like the Mexican restaurant circuit. There's a strong Mexican restaurant, Southern California stand-up circuit. And if the Lakers are in the playoffs, forget about it. No one's paying attention. It's over.
Only LA comics know that shit.
Yeah.
Like, you go like, especially that run that they were in from like basically early 2000s.
You're right,
like,
yeah, the Shaq and Kobe run.
That like, you're like, dude, these motherfuckers are in the playoffs. There's no show tonight. Like, and I remember like, I was doing the club that like I worked the most as an MC and feature was the Brea Improv.
Yeah.
I did it all. And like, do like a Thursday or Friday playoff game for the Lakers.
Fucked.
In June.
Brea is like Lakers City too.
Yeah. It's fucking, there'd be like eight people there.
Now, was there ever like a gig that you had that where like, you know, because when I first started doing the road, and just started handling this past year, and so like there's been times when I'm like, some cities I really want to live it up in and like enjoy and like I'll hang out with locals and stuff, and, you know, cause, and I can stay out, but then sometimes I'll just like go home and get sleep. But I've gotten in cars with random dudes and they're like a group of like 10 guys and a couple of their girlfriends because they're like a lot of fun. They're like, we're going to go to this bar and then go to our place and smoke pot, and then it ends up getting super weird. Man, and a couple of them are like, yo, we got these like the stripper coming over and she's going to blow everybody.
No.
I'm like, cool, I got a show actually. It's 7 a.m. tomorrow, so I got to leave. I got to do press.
I got fucking radio.
I would.
Did you ever?
Yeah, I did. I mean, but like I learned real fast and like that, like, first of all, I get so much anxiety about like rolling to a stranger's home.
Yeah,
like I did it like,
right,
years ago, but when they're like, hey, we're having a party, like immediately in my mind it's like, just come up with a reason why you're not going there. Like, that's all. I'm like, yeah, I got a fucking paper to write, or like, you know, I can't
a do paper
that.
My dissertation on old ladies and audiences is due tomorrow.
So
this podcast, Woody and the Beaver, is trying to get off the ground.
I will not go to a home like that. That's just bad.
It's crazy because I've got stories like that, and it just got to the point where you're in someone's car going to their favorite bar or their house going, all right, first of all, I met this person tonight. They could be like driving me to a scene from Pulp Fiction where the gimp's going to be in the corner and I got no fucking way out.
Yeah, man.
And if the party, if they all get shit faced at the party and they say, all right, we're all going to bed. You're like, hey, we're 25 miles away from my hotel.
That's what I hate. I hate not having a
right
way to my hotel.
You got
to
have an exit route.
And I also hate the expectations of a hangout after a show.
Yep.
They're like, you will
keep the show
entertaining
going.
Us.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
Like, nah, it's not going to happen.
No, I just
and if
sit
you're not,
down,
then
have
like,
a beer.
So you just kind of like do it up there.
Yeah.
Like, why? You're so quiet, dude.
And then you're like, you know what? I don't know any of these people, and we're not friends. And why am I here right now?
Yeah. Also, you gave me this strange weed that apparently is fucking with my judgment.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you told me this was chill weed, and it's fucking nervous weed.
Do you smoke early?
Yeah, but I mean.
Yeah.
I'm not like a.
You know, though, I said recreationally the other day, and I was like, that basically just means, if there's pot around, I'll smoke it.
Yeah. I prefer edibles.
Yeah.
But, like, I.
Those are so tough to gauge, though.
Watch those doses.
You're telling the master right here.
Yeah, man.
He almost died in Vegas. I told Winnie the Pooh I was having a heart attack at Disneyland.
Yeah.
Which, here's what's crazy about that story. When I was three, when I was five, I got lost at Disneyland with my mom and my dad.
I didn't know the story.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. I got lost. Was five. It was. I still remember. I still remember talking to Winnie the Pooh, like being like, "Oh, my daddy and my mommy."
Dude, that's horrible.
And then they took me to a lost and found thing, and my, like, you know, the parents rushed in,
And but anyway, so
did you hear the announcement over the loudspeaker? If you lost a chubby son named Adam,
he looks like Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber. He's chubby. He's double fisting Pop Tarts, jiggling around. He's like, he's jiggling through the Matterhorn. And so I get there, and then so then now 25 years later, I'm at Disneyland on a Pop Brownie, and I'm fucking just ate way too much. It was one of those things where you're like, I can't even taste it. It tastes like chocolate, man. You did a great job making this, Jared. Yeah. And then fucking 20 minutes later, you're like, there's bats everywhere. You know, you're at a Starbucks, you're fucking freaking out over bats. And then we get in there, and my heart just starts pounding, man. And I'm like, it's gonna, I had a thought where I was like, at some point, I'm going to have to explain to like the residents of Disneyland that why I'm holding my heart, why it's come out of my chest. Yeah. That was a legitimate thought. So I go to Winnie Pooh and I'm like, dude, man, I'm fucking, I know you're in character, but I used to be, I played Wolverine Universal Studios for a little bit. I know that this is fucking not real. So like, you got to break the fourth wall for a minute and you got to help me out. Like, where's the first aid?
You said this?
Yeah, dude, I was freaking out, dude.
Did he break the fourth wall?
He just gave me a big, like, cartoony, whoa, like, with his hands, like, his hands kind of
so
like
much
a,
better.
Like a, basically,
the
like
same
a,
thing, the yeah, same like thing a, happened to me when like, when I was with the Heffalumps and the Woozles.
Yeah, dude, it was just, and so I just lost even more, because I was like, you son of a bitch. Like, I know you're fucking like Dave from Burbank in there. Like, oh, like, right. Break the wall, man.
Come on.
And then he kind of pointed, still in character, to like some, you know, to like the first aid station, like that way, and then I just kind of ran through Disney. So then
first
I'm running.
Aid.
By the way, I can't imagine any kid who saw a grown man fucking like screaming at Winnie. It probably looked like I was screaming at him
break the fourth wall, asshole.
Yeah, break the fourth wall and doing gestures of like trying to tell him that my heart was gonna come out of my chest.
Yeah,
and then I just took off and started running. I probably looked like the craziest person there.
I like there's over 1,000 employees not in costume at Disneyland every day, and you ran up to Winnie the Pooh for help.
Right? Again, dude, that's the power of the edible.
Yes. My rule now, my self-imposed rule is that, you know, whatever that person tells you, you dice that shit up. Whatever they tell you to take.
Half.
If they're like, half of this, I go, oh, we'll do a quarter. You know what I mean? Like, I just know.
Yeah.
Because too many bad, like, panic attacks. Like, I'm going to die. I'm a bad person. Like, all these fucking horrible
Have
thoughts.
You had one that's just...
Horrific?
Yeah, like...
I mean, I was crying on a flight. You know?
Oh, that's always that fun in the tube like, of death.
Well, in your defense, what's that movie? Searching for Bobby Fischer. It is a great movie. Is that what you were watching on the plane?
No. But it was, some of those, like, those, you can overdo it, and it's like,
on a plane, I can't imagine being too.
I've done it multiple times on a plane, and every time I'm like, that was so dumb. Yeah. I eat it on a plane again. So stupid.
Why? Like, because it's already a stressful situation. You're already
there. You know
there
what? It's like, this is going to be boring. This is a fucking 5-hour flight.
Right.
So just, and like, sometimes the flight is so chill, it's pretty magical, man. Look out and just be like, we're coasting, everything's good. I think I saw some Care Bears on that cloud out there. Like,
I ate one, you know, I ate one where, and then I was on a commuter flight, like a little jet, and I was like, could barely fucking fit in this seat, and there's another big dude next to me, and he's like leaning on me, and I'm just uncomfortable, but I know I'm too fucked up to talk, so he's like, hey, like, you going home, or are you going to work?
And like that? Do you like airplane small talk?
Oh, my God. I put headphones on as an answer. I was like,
that's an answer.
I'm not going to talk to you, dude. And then, like, people were boarding the flight, and one of the guys, just a nice guy, boards and the flight attendant's like, how are you? And he's like, oh, I'm excited to go see my dog. My dog loves me. And she's like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, that guy loves me. And the guy next to me goes, it's the only love you can buy. And I was like, what a shitty thing to tell
Jesus.
Guy. Right? I was like, why would you say that?
Only love you can buy. You obviously haven't been on Santa Monica Boulevard here in L.A. past 2 a.m. You can buy some good
all
love.
All kinds of
Did that happen last week at the Laugh Factory? I complimented a woman because she goes, I'm 55. It's my birthday. I go, you look good. Her friend goes, she's a grandma. I go, fuck you, bitch. That's like, don't just pull the compliment out from under her.
Yeah.
People do that sometimes.
But I was
do that.
I wanted to say something, but I was like, oh, you're super fucked up. Don't, you know what I mean? Like,
right. Sometimes,
yeah.
So you were at the doubting of anything. Thing I say,
and then stage. I was like, I wanted to know what I look like, so I held up my phone, and I was like, I was like, whoa, like you look crazy, like pupils and like eyelids, and as I did,
you'll do that in the mirror sometimes if you're like in a press.
I want to see what I look like.
Yeah.
So as I do it, I realize that I'm holding my phone up for like a while
and just staring at yourself.
But I also see that the flight attendant can't see, so it looks like I'm taking a picture of her in my mind.
Oh.
Like, it looks like...
Oh, man, I'm just trying to get, the perfect stewardess snapshot.
So I go, I'm not taking a picture of you. And she goes, what?
That was your first moment to decide to speak.
Yeah, I go, I'm taking a picture of me. And she goes, okay. And then I was like, oh, she didn't notice that I was even holding. Like, she's right.
Now she just thinks you're
and
fucking.
I was like, yeah, because I was taking a picture of me.
You and kept she, talking yeah. and trying to explain
and
it.
And she's like, selfie, huh? And I go, yeah, it's selfie. And she's like, okay. And I was like, fuck, I should shut the fuck up.
What if you were just like, guys, see how fucked up I look right now? These brownies are taking a turn.
It was rough, dude. That was only last month. That was bad.
Oh, my God.
By the way, movies. I'm sorry. I have to say this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. I have such an aversion to,
are you a big movie guy?
Well, I love movies, but I never, like, I've pretty much put the fucking brakes on, like, big comedies. Like, I'm like when I see the trailer, you know, I'm like, this is going to suck. Like, I think it's because, like, I'm a comedian, like, you know,
right. So, yeah. You know, so,
like, I don't watch comedy
shows. You know the jokes.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, I go, like,
what did you think of The Heat?
This is what that's about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I was like, if I see a commercial for anything,
that's all
like,
I've got. That's why I bring it up.
I go, like, I'm not going to watch that. Like, any of them. If it's a big budget comedy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
because you're just like,
I just don't think it's for me. I think it's like, that's for. Yeah,
that's understandable.
Was there a time, like, were you all about Sandler?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And all the comedy. Like, I'd be like, but I got just disappointed so much. I was just flipping through the channels, like, having lunch, and I caught, like, half of The Heat. And, dude, I was laughing so much.
That's,
I was like,
awesome.
Fuck, I actually have set it now to record, to watch the whole thing. And you were, in what I saw, you were fantastic. And I couldn't believe how funny it was. So, like,
that's,
it was
awesome, man.
Look at that, Adam Ray.
That's like, great. I'm really bad. Like, I go to, like, development meetings where they're like, so, like, you know how on 30 Rock, and I'll be like, nope. And they're like, you've never watched 30 Rock? I'm like, no. And they're like,
nope.
You're all right, like, so, like, court? On Parks and Rec, and I'm like, nope. And they're like, you've never. I'm like, nope.
And I think there's pros and cons to that, man, because it's like, you're, it's not affected by what's, like, everything that's out.
But that's true.
But I mean, the bad
thing is that I'm fucking, like, can't even have the conversation.
Right.
They're like, what are you watching? I'm like, Millionaire Matchmaker on Bravo.
Can you, wait, complete other side note, and then we'll get back to you. I once dated a girl that went on the Millionaire Matchmaker while we were dating.
What?
And then ended up fucking the guy.
She's on the, like, is she, what, went on the date on the show?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
Is it basically, girl, you have to tell me who it is.
Is it basically like The Bachelorette, really quick, so I can get on board?
Millionaire Matchmaker is when some millionaire fuckhead just comes to some girl and says, hey, I'm only getting skanks to blow me, so if you can get maybe a skank, but then give her hope that I'm actually going to date her for a while, if you can, like, make that happen. And so, like, then the Millionaire Matchmaker just gets all these whores together that be like, we want someone for his personality and a Bentley. So, like, all these, like, hot chicks, I want to blow Donald Sterling. Like, they all just, like, line up, and they go on a date and see if they're good. So this girl that I was dating was, like, just really wanted to become famous. That's it. She just wanted to become famous.
How long are you going out for?
We were going out at that point for, like, 6 months.
Did you find out that she went on this because it aired or because she told you?
Because she told me, and and then it aired later. When, I mean, we were already broken up, but people had thought that we were still dating, so they called me up, like, dude, did you see what fucking Stephanie did? I'm like, yeah, bro.
Do you remember what episode it was?
I don't know the number.
Right.
But
it's 206, bro. Yeah.
Episode 206. It was, I know what they did on the date because I watched it and just laughed.
What did they do?
They went to some, like, spa, and then it was like, they got into like a bikini, and he got into, well, also a bikini, and then like they walked around in some sauna, but it's really like a cold sauna.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're like, it's like 70 degrees below zero or something, but you have to walk around really fast, and that's supposed to be, like, relaxing.
Okay.
And then and then she ended up fucking the guy, which I thought was hilarious.
Do you watch a lot of those? So that's your shit, huh?
I mean, no sex before monogamy is what she's supposed to follow. But
that's what they make them say before the dates.
Yeah, no sex before. Announce it. That's what
no sex before monogamy.
Yay.
She had a great soundbite in the episode where the host goes, and remember, ladies, no sex before, and then she yelled out, anal.
Yes.
Are you serious? Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
Do they bleep anal?
Nope.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Yep.
By the way, did they bleep anal is the name.
That's
my new album.
Yeah. Oh, really? You're going to have to fight Adam Sandler for that fucking movie title.
That's true.
There you go.
Or porn, like, biography on, like, some, like, porn star who maybe did, like, two films and then just dropped out of the business.
How would Morgan Freeman narrate that movie, Adam Ray?
In 1985, Clarissa, not from Clarissa Explains It All, but Clarissa...
Johansson from Belgium came to the States with a dream and a wet pussy. She had never done porn before, but, well, she had a go-getter attitude and a thirst for anal sex. She'd never done anal before and was curious for if she requested anal during filming, if they would bleep the word. They did not, and so she quit.
Because they didn't bleep it.
Did they bleep anal? Coming out next summer. Already nominated for Best Documentary.
Do you do a bunch of impressions? Like, is that?
No, you know what? When I first started, I went to a Christian water sports camp. I was the only Jew, which a girl in high school I was with.
You're a Jew?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Russian Jew. Why? You're a good actor.
Yeah. So he just drops the mic. I'm out.
I'm out of here.
If this was your show, would you have a soundbite of like a...
No, I would have... I have a sound drop of...
A circumcision snip or something?
No, Yoshi. You know Yoshi Obayashi?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have a sound drop of him going, Jews are great! Like that. So
dude, that's
that.
So funny.
Yeah, and he also said, Jews are funny, and I like Jews, so I play all
dude. But you got, but for those of you who don't know who Yoshi is,
from Seattle, too.
Like, heavy Japanese accent, though. Like,
heavy Japanese
heavy
accent.
Japanese.
Speaking of the porn world.
I'm bringing him to Seattle this Friday for our live podcast in Seattle.
Where all are right. you doing that?
At the Highline Bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my hometown. I'll send out a bunch of people.
Oh, please do. Yeah. It's Friday night, so it should be fun. He's an amazing podcast guest.
Yeah. Well, wasn't he on Eddie Ifs with us?
Yeah, he was. And he was just bringing up these crazy porns that make even us blush.
I pulled a bunch of Yoshi Bites from an Eddie Ifs episode. He got shit-faced on one and said crazy shit. So I have like a page of just Yoshi.
He's got the classic Asian drinking, tolerance.
Yeah.
Or is he just... Why is he funny drunk? Like, what is he?
He was saying, why? Like, I can't get hard unless I know I can beat up a girl. And like crazy shit. Where I was like, it was just like incredible audio stuff.
Yeah. I cannot get hard unless I know I could beat up a girl.
That's pretty spot on.
That's Brad's Morgan Freeman, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
But
just happens to sound Japanese.
I started doing... So the only Jew at this water sports camp, and there was a talent show. And I did your standard impressions in high school, like Clinton, Kermit the Frog, Arnold, Regis...
You did all these?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're like...
But I mean, like... And they were all, like, pretty good, but none of my other friends were doing them, so I think everybody... So at this water sports camp, we had a talent show one night, and basically Mike Tyson. My friends would, like, lip sync. I just made up an entire fucking show behind the stage with the mic.
That's awesome.
And they pretended to be all the guys, because they were like...
Wow.
So I was like, now Kermit's coming through. And he'd be like, hey, you know, hey, Mike Tyson, you know, what are we having for dinner? And he'd be like, wait, Kermit, I think about having some beef stroganoff, maybe some hamburger helper. And so my friends would just be the specific person and then just like pretend to.
How popular did you get off of that?
I mean, it was.
How much Christian water?
Well, the guy who ran the camp was like, that was great. That was a great impression and a great act and great piece of entertainment for a Jew. No, he didn't know. The guy who ran the camp still.
What grade are you in that?
This was junior high school.
Oh, okay.
And the guy pulled me aside, though, at one point and was like, you got a real knack for entertaining. That's great. Jesus Christ was also, and I was like, dude, yeah, try to convert me at the
camp.
I went because it was like from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. It was beach, and we played basketball and soccer there, jet skis, awesome. Boating from 7 to 5. Then it was like Jesus Christ talk from 6 to 7. I was like, I can handle an hour a day.
Yeah.
And then it was like small group Jesus Christ talk.
What are you doing Jesus Christ talk, though?
They were like, yo, Jesus is great, ain't he? I'm like, yeah, man. Yo, let's go play volleyball again.
You tolerate it. You just like,
yes. Yeah. And there was also a lot of like just
the
like
same
faith
way, yeah, the,
building.
Yeah, the
and,
same way you go to a timeshare and you listen to their fucking spiel.
Totally.
For 2 hours just so you can get a cheap room.
That's exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Which may or may not have been what we did in Cabo.
Yeah. So then, I've still, you know, and then like as I've gotten older, I'll do like a
Christian water sports camp.
Dude, yeah.
That's amazing.
I just picture they have walking on water class.
Hilarious.
Oh, yeah. That's
no one's done it yet, but we're going to keep trying, campers.
Dude, it was fun, but I would like do those shitty impressions, and then as I've gotten older, I'd do like a Jay Leno. I'll do like
Jesus
a couple
was
of videos.
An entertainer too.
What's that?
Jesus was an entertainer too.
That's what they said to me.
Yeah,
yeah,
he was. Adam, listen, Jesus would go up on the mount and he would give sermons and he would have the faith of and the attention of all the people. Adam, so you could do that with your Jay Leno giving a handjob impression. You can't.
Is that an impression you do? Jay Leno giving a handjob?
Well, Tom, thanks for coming on the show today. Tom Segura, new special coming out, completely normal, the new special.
Thanks, Jay.
Hey, of course. So, Tom is not a big movie guy. Like some movies, he'll watch a movie on a plane. You were crying recently on a plane. That's really you were crying.
Yeah, I got really high, yeah. Jay.
Excuse me, I'm getting a hand job real quick.
I've never done that before. Brad set me up for a.
I enjoyed it.
Listen, I don't know what's in his bag of tricks. I just like to dig deep sometimes.
The Morgan Freeman came out of nowhere because it was like a guy I just was. We were talking about we watched the Penguins, March of the Penguins High.
Oh.
My buddy and I just kept muting it and pretending to do Morgan Freeman and being like, this is a like, dude, it was because the shots you had were so great. So we just mute and be like, this penguin's name is Freddie. He's a big fan of Queen, the band. In fact, in 1982,
like, it's funny. Oh, that's good. Man.
It was incredible. We laughed our.
I laughed at the.
And it probably wasn't terrible because
Jeremy Irons. Did you watch that one?
Yeah,
that he dictated with the leopards.
Lacadema.
Dude. That's all we said for like a fucking year.
Jeremy Irons did a leopard movie.
Wasn't it Irons?
Was this like Disney's Bears or something?
It was
like that
kind of thing where okay. It was a TV special. And it was like it followed Lacadema. Like just fucking name.
Yeah.
Of this, I think it was leopards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The impression thing, at one point I was like, all right, I'm either going to be impression guy or not be. And so I had Tony Danza in my act for a while, and then I took it out. I'll still do it every now and then. Like, we had a part of our progress for a long time where I would just interrupt our podcast as Tony Danza.
Had him on the show?
No, but we're working on it. Talks. Yeah. It's getting close. He followed me on Twitter. I got to Vegas last week. First day I get there, Tony Danza's following you on Twitter. I was like, dude, I got to go to the craps table. Like, this is luck is on my side right now.
Yeah. Did you hit it?
No, because I'm not a big, I did blackjack. But again, I got high while I was at blackjack. My buddies from SC drove out from college. They're big gamblers.
Yeah.
And one of them is like the best yes man, where he's like your friend that supported you from the get-go, thinks everything you say is funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's like, you know, not good because you're like, I'm just fucking was like, I just said like potato salad and beef jerky should come together for like a potato jerky fucking festival of fun in your mouth. And he's like, dude, that is so fun, dude, because that's topical.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right. But so I'm at the blackjack table, and after I lost my money, I just sit there being like, to the other people, I was trying to make my buddy laugh and the people there like annoyed or see how they would react. So I was like, you guys actually know a little fun fact about Vegas. I'd start every sentence with a little fun fact about Vegas. I was like, slot machines were actually built by midgets. And the people were just
looking.
Yeah, see, that, a lot of truth actually was coming
exactly.
Out.
We did.
So these people would just look at me like, who the fuck is this guy?
And
my buddy would laugh. And then his buddy was like, dude, you're fucking up my flow. Like, he didn't like me joking.
Right. How much will you lose before you go, like, I'm done for right now? Do you have a different amount every time, or do you have, like, a number of hands you'll lose?
If I sit down at blackjack and I start with $60, I'm like, try to milk this for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then if I lose it quick, I'm like...
$5 or $10 table or $20 hand? Like how?
I think it's like $10 table.
$10. Yeah. Okay, so you'll play a few hands.
Yeah. And actually, I build it up. And my problem is, though, I'll double down, like, a couple times in a row and win. And then I'll go, on the next hand, I'll go, let's bet it all. And then I'll just fucking... One time that's worked for me, and I walked away with, like, $500 with $40. One time. Every other time, it's like you double down, you bet big and then you lose. You
know? Now, Adam Ray once did a gig at the Pechanga Casino in Temecula with me.
Oh, yeah.
And for some odd reason, it became very apparent to Asians that if you rub a midget's head, you'll win. So as I was like walking around the
for
casino,
real?
Yeah, like I had all these like Asians like running after me and like rubbing my head. And then, that is a true story.
Were you like, I'll fucking break your fingers? Like,
well, no, because you don't know which Asians can fight and which can't. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
you're not quite expecting it. Like, you think, oh, that's an old grandpa. He can't beat me up. And all of a sudden, he throws a fireball at you.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, shit. He knows some dude.
What casino did we do? We did Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah, we did. Was it Gold Coast?
Yeah, up north, right?
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of Central California.
Middle of fucking meth country.
Me, you, Jay Larson, and my girlfriend just getting shit-faced.
Yes,
And
what's your lovely girlfriend's name? She's so sweet.
Eva. Yeah.
Eva.
Yeah, she was cool. But and like we're just like that. We did the greatest people watching ever.
Oh, my God. That was a ridiculous fucking place. Like, I
about
had been
Vegas
there before.
Pechanga?
No,
Gold Coast.
Oh, Gold Coast.
Gold Coast Casino. This is like, all right, You know those you know those movies where they always go into like a mine, like a mining town, and there's all like the mine workers that all have the black lung, and they're all like shooting whiskey. That was the entire casino,
dude. This it was they were absolute animal. And then like the guy that ran it, like he was like he thought that like Larson and I started doing stand up like last week. Like he was like he came in, he was like, so you want to do like 5 and 10, and then do you want to do like 140 up there? Like,
what? Yeah, to Brad, he's like doing hour 40.
Yeah,
you guys are beginners.
Yeah, he's like no. He asked me how long have you been doing it. And I was like, what? Like, you know, we're booked for this show,
right?
And he was like, okay.
Again, the people that just don't take time to research a couple things.
So, but like he did fucking absolutely level the place.
Do you love people watching? Yeah.
Oh yeah,
you have a great. You're just very perceptive, like because a lot of things you talk about, I feel like, are observation, like from things that have happened from people you know or that you've like. How do you when you see something like at an airport or during a show or something that comes up to you after a show? How do you like? Is there something that just pops off in your head that you're like, okay, well, that's worth talking about because it was so. Like annoying, or it was like you find the funny in it. Like if a person's being silly, or
yeah, I think if you're annoyed by something, it's good to say it, right. You know, and then you find out
because then you're emotionally attached funny. To it.
Yeah, yeah. I always have that thing where like if it's a repetitive thought, like sometimes you will have a thought, you know, like you have it today, tomorrow at night you have it, the next day in the morning you have it, and you're like, all right, I keep thinking whatever it is, you should say it like on stage once. And just see if it's something,
yeah.
Because usually it is,
yeah.
Because there's like if you're attached to it like that, there's something there,
yeah,
yeah.
And you'll be more probably inclined to like rant on,
yeah. You'll
that specific
it out.
If
yeah.
there's like, yeah,
yeah. So it's just like, but I don't. I mean, it's just whatever pops in my head.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm not good at like.
You don't sit down and like write, or you try to do a lot of it on stage with a little.
No,
bit of
yeah,
thought?
Yeah. I just do it on stage. I'll write down something if like. I'm at home or wherever, and it just pops in my head. I go, I want to write this down.
Yeah.
But most of the time, on stage, figuring it out on
it
stage.
It is the best way to do that. Like, that's, I was just in Sacramento, and we went, you're going too soon, the punchline. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what date?
I think it's in August. I don't remember.
All your dates are at TomSegura.com, right?
Yes.
And Twitter at TomSegura.
Yep.
There you go.
The Sacramento punchline where I just was, we went Lazy River floating on the Saturday, and there's, I just end up talking about this one interaction I had at the top of the show. Because people were like knew of it, so it was like something they were like, oh cool, this is something that he did that we've done. And I was like, yeah, I went to river rafting today, or a whitewater rafting. I was like, well, I just floated down a fucking child's floaty on a river for $80. I was like, thanks for the memories, Sacramento. It's a fucking waste of money. And they were all like laughing or whatever. And I was like, but the people, the characters you meet out there, this one guy we met, he had fucking backwards hat, Coors, fucking couple teeth. And he's like talking to me, and
couple
he's like,
teeth.
He goes, hey man, you guys got weed? And I was like, no man. He's like, oh shit. He's like, well, you know, man. Gotta have weed to smoke it. And I was like, that's probably the most fucking prolific thing I've heard on the river today.
That's fantastic.
And it was like everything. And then I was just like, just say something crazy back to him. I was like, dude, I can't fucking play the clarinet without potato salad. And he goes, I feel that, man. And I was just like, dude.
You said this shit on stage?
Yeah. Because that's what I said to him, because we were fucked up. We've been smoking a weed pen out there. He was fucked up. It was like, everything on the river makes sense is what I was gathering.
Is you gotta
like,
have weed to smoke it is a killer line, dude.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And he meant every, he was like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we all like nodded, being like, "True, hey, dude, that's the truth right there."
Yeah, yeah, that's fantastic.
But so it was like, and it was you know something they'd all done or whatever. But
that's the kind of like if that happened to me, that I would have meet like that yeah. night.
Say, have you always been like that, or
how did you even, always?
What is it? What has got you to go? Oh, Tom Segura is a funny fucking dude. Was it your storytelling?
No, I mean, you know, like you mean like to get started?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was, you know, you have to think you're kind of funny,
yeah.
right? Like you have something funny going on. And then I was doing groundling stuff, like
nice.
Classes, like in 2002. And I had other comics in my class who were like, they were like, you should try stand up. You would like it. Like,
and yeah. And when a comic tells you to do it, yeah. you're like, okay, you're not just,
yeah. And I was like,
you're not Richard from the copy room.
Right. I was like, no, they were like, no. Like they were like, you would definitely like it. So,
nice.
You know, I just
you had two sisters growing up. Do they think you were funny?
At times. And then other times they're just like, you're mean.
Does your sister think you're funny? We all have sisters.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Everybody? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My sister did not think I was funny at all.
Really?
Yeah. And my sister and my mom didn't think I was funny. Dad thought I was hilarious. And so it was always like trying to impress them because, you know, dad's at work all day. So you're always.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's telling me I'm funny. So I should be able to make these these women laugh. These fucking broads.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I maybe it was that challenge or something. But But so for you, the comedy wasn't necessarily like with your family stuff. It was like
no,
with these guys.
I mean,
were,
we moved around a lot, you know. So I was always in new schools and like,
oh, really?
I think, yeah, trying to make you always trying to find your way in.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I think I was trying to definitely. I know I was trying to like make people think I'm funny, so that you know
you want to be because you're immediately having to go to a new place and be like, all right, I want to be accepted immediately.
Absolutely.
So how do I?
Yeah. Which the funny thing is that
lead with a fart
so
joke.
So much it changes as an adult. I think. As an adult, where like where you feel like you don't have to prove it anymore. So like now I'm not like that. Like now, I meet new people and I'm like, you know,
I got enough friends.
I don't. Yeah. I got enough friends and like I don't need validation from you, fucking driver of this, you know, whatever. Like I'm not trying to impress
driver
you.
Of this TCBY truck that I stumbled upon because the weed brownie was too fucking powerful.
I'm sorry, I'm crying.
Yeah. Other
but
fat guy
kid?
In the seat. Yeah, well, yeah. As a kid,
you're fucking
panicked.
Dude, it sucks. Don't you see kids sometimes, and you're just like, man, it's so awesome being a kid, but the amount of like insecurity and need to be accepted is like
it's the worst,
insurmountable.
It's
as a feeling.
It's the dominant feeling that I think about when I look back on childhood. Like the if you're like what like summarize it, I'd be like, oh, the unbelievable need to feel accepted in all these, you know, but like it,
even if you have a great fucking family foundation, your
absolutely.
Parents are dope, you're at school is a whole new ball game, dude.
That's what my main like if I go what was high school like, I was like, man, that was a rough, like that was, it wasn't that it was rough, it was like, man, every day I was consumed by acceptance. That's how I think of like high school.
That's dark, man.
I think so.
No, but that's But then, so then out of that you so having to bounce from school. I have such like fucking admiration for the people that had to do that, man.
So many
because
schools,
of jobs from
so many
folks.
Schools. Yeah, yeah. We were just moving. I mean, it was good things like for jobs, but like it was, you know. I mean, one school
you just
for,
come in and go. All right, tomorrow we're going to Delaware.
I mean, it would be have a little
learn Portuguese.
Up.
It's half a fucking a Portuguesean.
What you know about obrigado? Like we moved.
Wait, what just happened?
We moved from Cincinnati to Minneapolis to Milwaukee to Vero Beach, Florida, and that was, you know, even within those cities, I would go to different schools, most of them. So like Cincinnati, a couple schools, Minneapolis, two schools. Milwaukee,
holy shit.
Two schools.
And you have your pick. It was just like, we get here and like, what's closest, right?
Pretty much. They're like, or this is, you know, this is a good school. This is where you'll go. And then after a year, oh, you're going to go to this other school. Like that kind of shit. So you just go like, you know, you move a lot.
Did you kind of, did you immediately, like, how would you find a best friend? I'm so fucking fascinated by this. Like, how would you, when you would like.
You see patterns when you get older.
Yeah.
You know, like I definitely, I'm a one-on-one person. Like I'm not in, I don't do groups real well. You know, so
you would just walk up to a group of fucking stoners and go, "Hey, fellas, I also dig wood."
I would never do that.
Also
and I would
some
also
band shorts and
never
some hot topic shades.
Like, there's guys that have like eight friends. Like, it's we roll like this group. Like, I was never that guy.
Yeah,
I was
the crew.
Like, no, I was like one or two max.
Yeah,
you know. So like, there are like, and sports helped a big time. So like, playing sports, you meet your friends.
Totally, sure.
So like, I played football, basketball.
Nice.
And, you know,
me too.
That's the only. That's how you really break into a new school. It's the one of the best.
So you would do that every
places.
Place
oh, sure.
you went to. Definitely. You must have been dope.
Hmm?
You must have been dope. You got some good size on you.
Nah, I was all right. Yeah. I was above average, but not, you know, not like
good enough though to show up and like make people go, oh shit, fucking that Segura
good
kid's
enough
got
to make plays every game.
He's always shooting jump hooks from the 3-point line, man, and like 2 out of 20 go in.
2 out of 20. Man, that dude's 8% from the field today. He's all right.
Dude, what if that was your move though, to come to these new schools and be like, I gotta make a mark ASAP. So I'm gonna fucking like on if we call a timeout and drop a play, I'm just like, if I get the ball, I'm shooting it from half court. Because if it goes in, people go, that's half court Segura. And like, fucking.
I actually had the worst thing happen where the principal of a school that I transferred to told everybody that I was an All American.
Oh, fuck.
I was like, fuck. Like, I didn't know this.
How does that even stat get missed?
I think it's because I transferred from such a big high school to a little high school.
Did you like,
did
you like transfer from a black school and you just assumed?
No, but I transferred from a 3,000. Capacity, like enrollment in high school to like the class had 70 people in it, the entire
oh my god,
wow.
And that was during my freshman year.
Dude, the pedestal
like,
they put you up on.
Man, he was like, this motherfucker's going to wreck you guys. Like he was like, like the kids, I remember they were like, this dude's bad. Like,
and
I was
did you
like,
have any idea that this had been?
Not at
they
all.
Were expecting,
then,
they were expecting Def LaShrimp to show up.
Yeah. We're getting ready to like, no, for football. He was like, this dude's going to fuck you guys up. Like, and I remember like getting into spring ball freshman year and they were like, we're ready to see it. And I was like, see what? And they were like, we know about you. Like,
he's all American tackles, man.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, what? And then, you know, they're like, you're all right. You're not like, I was like, I didn't say that shit. And they're like, yeah, Mr. Whatever fucking said you. And I was like, what?
Dude, why bullshit. Did the principal do that?
I don't know. I think he just, he
was he trying
so
to be
excited.
Cool with like the kids? Like,
no,
hey guys, I'm
I think,
recruiting.
I think he would, these were like his own fantasies. Cause I remember a year later, another kid would transfer and he was like, wait till you see this guy. I was like, oh, this is the same shit you told them about me. Like, he would just get like excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Were you at a predominantly like Michael Yo? You know Michael Yo, right?
I don't know him. No, I know who.
No,
I know
yeah,
him,
yeah, he went to a school that was like, they say it was all black and all Asian yeah. in one of his high schools, and he's both. So he said he would get shit from both sides.
Oh my God!
Because he was like, yo, you hanging with those Asians, Mike? And he's like, I mean, sometimes I'm Asian.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd be like, oh Mike, you gonna go to the fuck?
That's got
to
be rough.
This racist moment brought to you by Doritos, Adam Ray and Doritos.
That has to be tough, dude. I imagine like for when you're mixed and
sure,
like, but yeah, growing up,
pick like, a side, Jets yeah, or Sharks.
That's got to be tough. I mean, yeah, no, I mean, I didn't really have. That I mean, I went to public high school and private high school.
Okay,
so
and when and I've been dodging this question for a while with you, but when did you go to a coma?
Freshman year of college on Thanksgiving break.
Well, so, like, is that something we can even talk about?
Yeah, of course. There's a fucking video of it online. That's
of your coma?
Well, of a story of it. If you go to, you know, Ari's, this is not happening.
Yeah,
I tell it on there. So
oh, no awesome, dude!
If you look up, this is not happening.
It's on YouTube,
Tom
yeah,
Segura.
Yeah.
It's a 12-minute long.
Oh, well, I thought you meant like, yeah, Tom Segura's coma already has like 5,000 Twitter followers.
It's me on a fucking bed and I'm vomiting. No,
well, I mean, all right. So people should go there to watch the full
yeah,
thing in its glory. But I mean,
basically, I mean the short version of it.
Which, by the way, what an awful thing. Just go, but Tom, we don't have time to hear your coma story. So no, give me the footnotes.
I'll give you the footnotes. It really was. It wasn't. It's not as like
glamorous.
Yeah, or like dark as it sounds. Like, basically, you know, for me, I imagine it's the same for a lot of people. When you, if you're from Seattle,
yeah,
and you come down here to go to college,
yep.
And then do you remember the first time you go on break, or the first time you go back home,
yeah.
And you're like, seeing
I wanted
everybody
to go
for the first time
home. I was like, man, I don't fucking, you know, SC's. Fucking.
But are you guys partying? Like, hey,
oh yeah, yeah. We all meet up at somebody's house.
Yeah,
it was like that,
massive
and it was like
reunion.
It was like one house party, second house party, bar along that route. It was like. Pill here, pill there.
Oh, yeah, because, by the way, you are overwhelmed with the consumption and emotions of, like, I was just saw you 5 months ago, and we're best friends, and we're not in the same place
you're
anymore.
You're going to Vanderbilt, and I
tell me about it. I want to be happy for you, but I also fucking don't want to be because maybe you'll fucking transfer and come down and hang with me. Or,
yeah, all that. It's a roller coaster of emotions, and you're also, like, you know.
You see the ex, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, and you're trying to get, you know, you're like, everyone's partying, so you're like, let's fucking do this.
Yeah, yeah, you're trying to, like, show off, like, this is how I party at my school.
Dude, yes!
Yes.
It's totally that. And I was seeing, like, the fucking, the drug dealer kid who, like, didn't go to college, you know, and I was like, you're still here? That's awesome. Like, I was hoping you didn't get into college.
So yeah.
See you right now. And, like,
they're like, are you fucking ripping it up down there, fucking Laverne and Shirley's college?
Laverne
Where'd you go again?
Lenore Ryan,
yeah. They're like, you fucking still All-American tackler?
I was like, yeah, dude, I just got NFL scouts came out last week. So, yeah, I was just taking pills, and the thing that fucked me over.
You were yes-anding everything. Your groundlings training was coming in.
It was coming in. The craziest thing was booze, you know, really takes other drugs, like it makes exacerbates everything, takes it to the next level.
Yep.
So the thing was, I was pounding fucking liquor, you know, like vodka drinks, just like, I mean, probably 15 over the course of like just getting fucked up, man. You know, he's being stupid.
You can also tolerate a little bit more at that age, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 250 pounds.
Yeah,
like,
you're fine.
I can handle a few drinks. So we're just drinking. And then back in high school is when I started doing GHB, which is like, you know, it's like a liquid drug where like you basically buy it in a water bottle, so in like your standard, you know, 12-ounce bottle, and you pour the water bottle into the cap, and that's a dose. Like that's how it was. We started doing that.
GHB is a drug.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so
for a second, I thought it was like an acronym, like the Jersey Shore, like Jim Tan. But I thought it was like
doing GHB.
I thought it was like gym hang gliding, fucking bungee jumping,
laundry.
Or bowling.
I was doing laundry that night.
So you take this liquid. It's a liquid.
It's a liquid thing, and I had done it like 100 times before. So I told the guy that gave me the pills that I had already taken. I was like, I don't feel shit, and he was like, all right, well, come see me when we're all going to the party was moving. So we go to the bar, and I was like, you know, because at first I was like, yeah, I don't feel those pills. And he was like, yeah, you just took it, man. Like, give it,
give it a minute, you know. And this time it's been like an hour.
And you want to feel it because you're like, I want the next rush of whatever.
I want to be fucking high. Yeah. So he was like, all right, I got GHB in the car. And I was like, yes, because I used to buy it from him in high school. And I was like, you have the good fucking shit. I tried to get it in college and it sucks there. So we go to his car and this is so ridiculous, man. But because I'm so used, the only way I've ever bought it is in a water bottle. And it looks like kind of yellowish and it tastes like ocean water. Like it has like a salt water taste.
Wow.
And the bottle that he had for it was a milk jug. Because he was going to pour that into water bottles and then sell those. Like it was, okay. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This was the main dose to pull.
Yep.
So he goes, cool, like, take this. Like, here's some GHB. Just take a hit. So I pick it up.
In a milk jug.
Yeah. So I pick it up and I'm like, oh, like, I don't know how to pour. Like, in my mind, I'm like, I'm so used to having the water bottle. It's like a milk jug. Well, you know.
How you gauge how much to sip and
exactly.
Let it hit your mouth.
Okay. How do you gauge it? It weighs. So, you know, you hold a full gallon.
Oh, there's no way.
There's no tip. And there's also, like, you can't pour it into that peel off.
Right. Yeah, thing, yeah, I can't pour it in the cap.
I would pour it everywhere. So I just.
And you're concerned about spilling it.
Absolutely. Drug dealers don't like when you spill their drugs. So
for all you future drug dealers listening out there.
Exactly.
I put it up to my mouth and then I take a sip and I'm holding it. You know, it weighs like it's a fucking full gallon. Mm-hmm. So I realize as I pull it away, I'm like, oh shit. Like I have a mouthful of GHB right now. Like instead of like what I'm used to the cap, the water bottle cap.
Yeah.
Because I sipped it by tipping it. I'm like my mouth. I have 15 hits of GHB in my mouth right now. Like that's what I was going through my mind. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what do you do? Like, do you spit it out? Like that's not a cool move,
right?
Do you spit on the ground?
Dude, this was the plot for the first episode of Do They Bleep the Anal?
When right. Do they bleep anal?
But
and I just go like. I'll just swallow that shit.
No, you didn't, man.
It was literally like that. It was
again.
Like,
did you like catch? Did you lock eyes with somebody who was like Segura?
No,
some sort of thing. Of you were like, I'm the fucking man.
I was literally just like, it was so quick that I was like, you can't spit it in the bottle. You can't spit it on the ground.
If there's a if dude, and you've
if
never
been alone. If he was like, it's in my car. Go have
it would have been like fun.
Oops,
yeah,
fucking I would have been like, fuck
right.
But like because he's sitting right there, I was just like, oh shit. Because then it was like, then I was on a fucking like a rocket ship
immediately.
Oh my god! Within 30 seconds, I was like, woo! Like I was walking through this bar like, what's up, man? Like just totally talking to people, crate, and they're like, "Good to see you, man."
You
like,
turn into fucking Dolomite?
Absolutely, I was fucking like
first
Mr.
Dolomite reference ever on this podcast, but sure,
I was Dolomite. I was fucking Morgan Freeman. I was Sam Jackson. I was every black man you've ever wanted to hang out with. And
for how long?
Probably before I passed out. It couldn't have been long because at that point. I'm pills in.
Yeah.
I'm a lot of, and that's the thing about GHB, you're supposed to, the big rule is no alcohol with it.
Okay.
Because you get fucked up without alcohol.
Yeah,
on it.
Right.
I'm 10 plus vodka drinks in, you know, and so when it hits me, I'm like, oh, like I feel that. Dude, 10 minutes later, that's it. I just black out. I don't remember anything. And then I just wake up in a hospital, you know, like.
So you woke up, and when you woke up in the hospital, you were waking up out of the coma.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I didn't know that I had fallen into a coma, so all you see is like ceiling lights, and then like I'm like, why can't I move my arms and why can't I move my head because I'm strapped down. So like they have me all strapped with tubes in me. Like you don't know any of this shit.
Yeah,
you know, so
you don't know. You don't know what they've done.
Or are you?
No,
when you wake up,
like,
you're conscious, and you're like,
I wake up, and
I did
like,
something.
I look at lights, and I'm like, why am I looking at light? And then I see like a doctor, like, hey Tom, you overdosed on drugs, and I'm like, ah shit, like you know that kind of like fuck.
How long were
so
you out for?
Okay, so you immediately
7-8 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it wasn't like
that's a
week-long coma, but yeah, to lose like 8 hours of their like, we don't know if he's gonna live. Like they started a prayer vigil, you know, at the hospital where people came by and they're like lighting candles and shit.
No did shit. They anybody tell family? I mean,
dude,
of course, right?
Yeah. Like after I look at the fucking doctor, I'm like, oh, fuck. I just literally my thought was like, I hope my parents don't find out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they leaned in
because you don't want them.
They leaned over like, "Hey," and I was like, "Ah, shit!" I just didn't want to see you guys. Like,
but they're just so happy that you're just
of course. Yeah.
What do they describe it as? Like you being passed out? Did you talk to them after? Like
no, because all they know is like
with you or.
They're like,
Charlo
they drew dicks
on my forehead. Yeah,
they're like, oh, look at our stupid
dude
son.
How fucked up would that be if the one guy who gave you that jug like had come in and he was like, dude, you got out of that coma, I'm so glad. Cause you guys do what I fucking did to you, and he holds up your phone.
No, I figure he might be like, "You owe me like $80. You took a lot of hits. You took way too many hits, man."
Can you imagine? Yeah.
But like how? But like you don't even know how you got to the hospital because how many parties have we been at?
There's a
where like some guy passes out and you just fucking you just put him in the corner.
Only reason I'm alive is because my sister was at that party.
Oh my God.
And they were like, because they were saying they're like,
party
he's fine
with your siblings, man.
They were like, he's fine. Everyone was saying like, he's fine.
Yeah.
And she, it's a bar. She picked up the payphone and dialed 911.
Wow.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. And then you were, and then they were able to immediately get, you know, and be whatever inside
dude,
of you.
I mean, paramedics, and then they were like, you know, they almost had to do the tracheotomy because they couldn't fit the tube because it was closing
up.
Oh,
shit.
It was bad, man.
Otherwise,
it was fun. Really fun. But it was bad.
So do drugs is what you're saying.
Well, otherwise, if she doesn't pick up and make that call, you're just the guy who's fucked up in the corner who's
definitely
who's still
would have let me just fucking
it's
die.
Funny that he's like slouched over and not moving. But like every now and then you probably would like shift and they're like,
he's fine.
Yeah,
it's a
little shifty
he's
Segura.
Fine.
Yeah,
it's a heart attack. Yeah, it would have been, they would have been watching me just like die. Yeah.
He'll be back to making all American tackles in no time.
Jesus, yeah, it was rough. It's a much better story on This Is Not Happening.
Dude, that's, I mean, that's a well, I mean,
good sell.
Was that the first time you told it on stage with that live audience?
It was probably the second. I had done Ari's show without the cameras.
Yeah.
And I told that story.
Okay.
And then he asked me to tell it for the show. And the funny thing is, like, it's gotten, like, pretty decent number of views on it.
Yeah.
So, like, now sometimes on the road, they'll be like, tell this,
do your
overdose bit. And I'm like, it's not a bit. And they're like, well, tell the story. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Because I don't do, like, it's not part of my stand-up.
That's what I was going to ask, because you are such a good storyteller and you have some, and you've, I'm sure, accumulated. Maybe not stories to the extent of the going into a coma, but like I'm always curious of how sometimes I'll tell people retell a story and they're like, you gotta do that on stage. I'm like, yeah, some stories are just better left as stories.
They are, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and you get, but like, it took me a while to figure that out because I was like, I gotta figure out a way to make that. Like, the thing with the being single on New Year's and whatever, I'll do it sometimes, but like, sometimes I'm like, I just kind of like, telling as far as like a single, like a funny anecdote that happened during, not
it's just a good story to tell.
But how many of those do you feel like you have in waiting in the vault that you're like, I could fucking, like, if you did an Ari show again where you could pull?
There's definitely more like stories that are good for that show, like for Ari's show, that are just like, but they're not ever going to be in stand up. You know what I mean? Like, they're just life stories where you're like, but it has to be like in that format for like it to work well, because like it's funny, some people watch that show and they're like, this isn't stand-up, and you're like, yeah, it's not supposed to be, it's a storytelling show,
right?
Like these are stories. Like they're not worked out bits.
It's not the standard laugh every 15 to 30 seconds.
It's an actual like long form story.
Well, you can hear many more of Tom's stories on his new special, which you get on Netflix, iTunes, your website, TomSegura.com, completely normal. His podcast, Your Mom's House, with his hilarious wife, Christina Pazitsky, on All Things Comedy, right? Or on, on your website, I guess.
There's a link in the site for the podcast is YourMom'sHousePodcast.com.
Perfect. And all your tour dates are on TomSegura.com.
Yes.
And This Is Happening. Search that on YouTube, Tom Segura.
This is not happening.
This is not happening. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And also, and you'll be doing the voiceover for the animated short, Do They Bleep the Anal?
Which is the obvious catchphrase. It's going to be sweeping T-shirts across the country. Tom, thank you so much for coming.
Guys,
thanks,
thank
man.
You for having me.
It was
this
a blast. Thanks,
thank
buddy.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.